Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
Okay, well, welcome everyone. Yes, I know you're very excited to be here today. I don't think it has anything to do with the donuts that we gave you at the beginning, but but our audience is really excited to get to hear what Mark Brody is going to say. So Mark has been in the contact center industry for over 25 years, spanning multiple industries, including client management, quality assurance, leadership, and workforce management solutions. He's also very, very involved in the Austin Contact Center Alliance. He is the president of that organization and a board member of the South Central Chapter of the Professional Association of Customer Engagement, or PACE, as some of you might know it. And very recently, in the last couple of months, he's launched BroHawk Solutions, where he gets to work hand-in-hand with small to mid-sized contact centers looking to improve operational efficiencies, employee engagement, and ultimately leading to an improved customer experience. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So today's topic, which I absolutely think is critical, is we're going to talk about how you hire, or the hiring practices that you have in your center directly impact customer retention. And I'm sure you have seen this time and time again with all the experience that you've had, you know, just not getting the right mix in. And I think sometimes your organizations get so desperate to fill that seat, just have a warm body in there, that, you know, that's short-term thinking versus long-term thinking. So maybe you could tell us, you know, what your experience has been with that.
Yeah. So, Nancy, thank you very much. Based on my experiences, I see a lot of contact centers that will go ahead and hire because they need to hit a metric. That metric could be based on handle time, number of agents that they need to have on the phones, for an occupancy rate, whatever the case may be. And they forget that at the end of the road is really how are these agents impacting the customer experience. So what I've started to tell people is flip the hiring process on its head. Define what your customers are expecting from an experience, and hire people that are going to go ahead and meet that customer experience expectation.
Excellent. So, yeah, I love that. Interesting. It's almost like the, I don't know if you ever had any exposure to Ken Blanchard and his company. He wrote The 1 Minute Manager years ago. And, you know, he basically, you know, has a triangle or the pyramid that most organizations have from hierarchy, but he flips it over. And that's exactly the same kind of thinking you're talking about.
And it's one that has started to resonate with companies as well. You know, too frequently, as like I said, companies are very focused on hitting a number, and you'll have recruiters and staffing firms that will come in and promise the moon, and you know fall a little short because they're just trying to hit those numbers.
So. Yeah. And is there any technique that you use, or is there some kind of profiling of the customer, or now they call it personas, I guess, if I'm going to use a trendy term, persona. So do you do a persona of the customer and then take that and move backwards with it to where you're hiring that type of person?
So what I would suggest is that the companies take a look at the voice of the customer surveys that they're already doing, customer feedback, where are the gaps in customer experience actually occurring? Are they occurring as a result of knowledge management? Are they occurring as a result of the soft skills? Is customer experience falling short as a result of you know, long wait times or, you know, whatever the case may be. So take those voice of the customer surveys and then compare that with what your employees are saying are the gaps that they're experiencing. So
interesting.
Create
yeah.
an intersection between voice of the customer and voice of the employee. Spend time interviewing your employees, understanding what their needs are, to become a little bit more engaged. So maybe they're helping the customer at another level. The military will go ahead and call very focused feedback that they're looking for as creating a task force. And really taking that task force mentality to the customer experience. So once you have the definition of what the customer customers are expecting from a positive experience today, then you start taking a look at your job descriptions. And a lot of companies, you know, it may have been 2, 3, 4, 10 years before or since they've looked at their position descriptions for a contact center agent, and they're not really hiring for the type of agent that is going to be successfully providing the proper customer experience.
Right. Right. No, you're
so
right.
Taking all that and melding it all together.
Now, is there any kind of practices that you've seen around the screening process that, you know, once they kind of realign the job description, is there, you know, any kind of techniques that I see a lot of call center, there was a call center that was doing some kind of assessment and then they would do a video interview, which I was kind of scratching my head, why a video interview? Why don't you just do voice? You don't need to see them. So,
exactly.
And plus,
does the customer really need to see the agent, you know?
Right. Well, and it enters bias as well.
It does.
There's a company out west that has a platform where they're really trying to remove that bias in the hiring process and kind of to your point, you know, really hiring to what are the skills that we really need and allowing, you know, some technology applications to kind of help narrow that pool of people down and then, you know, bring them in for the face-to-face interview because there still is something to be said for the cultural fit of that person that, you know, of who they're working with. So eventually you're going to have to see them, but, you know, in the early stages of the screening process, you could certainly use some kind of technology to help, you know, evaluate those people without having the subjectivity of a human involved.
Yeah, Nancy, I couldn't agree any more with that. I mean, the technology, artificial intelligence, whatever people want to term it these days, has advanced so much that that companies and hiring managers can really get a sense of how a person is going to act and react in situations by putting together, what I would say is not necessarily I'm forgetting the term here, not actually a live job interview. When it comes to what the job actually is doing, but more of a simulation, and I see a lot of need for simulation in the hiring process. We go through a lot of time putting together. Well, if I ask this question, then they'll tell me, you know, what I want to hear, basically. The behavioral interview questions are great, but that interviewees really focus on putting together a database of what the potential interview questions are going to be. So they already have stock answers. Where the rubber really meets the road is in the assessment and the simulation of what the job is actually going to do. I think there's a lot of value for that. With companies, especially staffing agencies that are They're helping staff the contact centers these days to really weed out what that person is going to sound like and how they're going to act and react to different mm-hmm. situations.
Oh, so, yeah, because there was, you know, I have my call center simulator, but prior to that I built just a conversation simulator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and one of my clients used that for screening applicants, which I'm, you know, I tried to encourage lots of people to use it for that because it's like, all right, mm-hmm. you've got technology to vet out their resume. Got that. Then what's the next step that is usually taking place is the phone call. And let's say you know immediately just by the tone of that person's voice, they're not a good fit. But as humans, we can't just say, oh, sorry, we're done here.
It's like, correct.
You know, correct. You just politely kind of, okay, you know, go through the motions of the follow, you know, the rest of the interview where it's like, how much time did the recruiter or whoever's interviewing, how much time did they waste speaking to those people that they know immediately are not a good fit just by the tone of their voice? So, yeah, you leverage technology to, you know, help you assess just the sound of their voice because, you know, that is a huge part of, as you say, you know, working with the customer, building rapport with the customer, just being able to understand them, you know, and build a sense of trust. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just certain tonalities to the voice that just can't pull that off. And, you know, if you weed them out early and use technology to help you with that, why not?
Well, and then you can also start, companies can also start building a profile for mm-hmm. what the best agents, how they're going to act and react. They may not have it, have a firm idea in mind before they start using a simulation technique, mm-hmm. but they will shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a frontline supervisor, you know, if you go to 10 frontline supervisors, and you ask them, what skills does an agent need to have in order to be successful in your particular environment? You may get answers that are all over the board. Oh, they mm-hmm. have to be friendly, and you'll get some similar ones. You know, they have to be friendly. They have to be knowledgeable. Okay, well, anybody can be friendly and sound friendly and knowledgeable.
Right.
In a positive situation, but. What happens when situations don't necessarily go the way that an agent has drawn it up in their mind? And that's the big difference between having a positive customer experience and a negative customer experience. Is getting those agents in there that have the personality traits to be able to problem solve, to have the personality traits in there that can. That can keep a conversation focused on a solution as opposed to, focused on the problem. And then that agent then becomes the problem.
Right.
There's technology out there that that now provides the agent with a stronger voice in that customer experience or that customer interaction, where it really intersects the in real time the customer experience and the voice of the employee, so that companies can go ahead and react and engage with consumers that have had potentially poor experiences or bad experiences
mm-hmm.
Faster, proactively.
Yeah. And
that's going to be the big difference. 26% of consumers, if they have a bad experience, bad customer experience the first time, they're going to leave that brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually found one that said 60% of the time. I guess it's a problem that people keep, you know, focused on that. Okay, let's not make sure we don't have a bad customer experience here, because not only will they leave, but now with social media out there, it's exponentially, you know, they spread the word of never go to this place or never buy from this person or whatever.
They're not just going to tell two friends and then they're going to tell two friends. They're going to tell 2,000 friends.
Yeah.
And then it becomes exponentially a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen social media really destroy brands or cause brands a major disruption in the press, you know, over the past few years. And, you know, being ahead of that curve is incredibly important for companies.
Do you have a, since you've been at this game a long time, do you have like a specific scenario that you can speak to of somebody you thought was a good hire and then something happened that you realized, oh shoot, they're not going to work out?
Yeah. So, in a former position, we had a multi-channel contact center that we're providing services for clients, and there was a particular agent that very very knowledgeable, probably one of the most knowledgeable of the products and services that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Their problem was their communication skills. Verbal communication skills put people off.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we really had to do was say, look, you know, you have all of the knowledge and the ability to navigate and be successful, you know, for this client. We just can't have you talking to anybody, you know, which is kind of hard in a contact center, a call center environment.
Right.
So because we were multi-channel, what we were able to do was identify what his greatest skills were, and then have this person really focus on where their strengths were, which was email or chat, not actually the tone of not focusing on the tone of their voice and how they were coming across. And I think if contact centers look at their communication channels with their customers, that they can find opportunities to retain people in roles that are still going to be a benefit, as opposed to having high turnover rate, and getting rid of people for, you know, missing on QA, for instance, and you know, people focus, I think companies focus too much on the negative, outcomes from QA and really don't use it as an employee improvement tool.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. A client of mine there, they are measuring, because the scenario they gave, they want to measure, you know, how well you can express empathy. But one of the stories they share with, I said, you know, is soft skills or technical skills more important to you? And they said, well, let's put it this way. If an agent is super, super smart at, you know, tech support, but they're off-putting because they treat the customers if they're idiots. He says, I would much rather have, you know, so he said we had a new college grad. She was still, you know, not as super techie as some of the other more seasoned people were, but her customer satisfaction scores were always above 80% because she had a way of, if she didn't know the answer, she gave the customer confidence that she would get the answer for them and did it in a way that made them feel good. And so, like to your point, you know, find some other place for that person that's really technically astute but not necessarily can engage verbally with that customer.
I mean, at the end of the day, when you have a customer interaction, you want that person to leave the conversation feeling like they were actually provided service. And then that employee is going to continue to do those things. They're going to promote positive customer experiences. If they feel that if they're an engaged employee. And one of the things that it's important for leaders in contact centers to do is really listen and provide feedback to to the agents that are bringing information and data to them. Because that has a tremendous impact on the overall customer experience. You don't want to just hire people that are just going to do the job. You want people that are going to be engaged in the job.
Yeah. That's interesting. I have a sister-in-law that works at a call center, and she's a seasoned adult, shall we say, and
Yes.
She wants to make sure that the people calling in, she wants to make sure that she resolves the issue on the first call, but sometimes that takes more time. And so there's that delicate balance of, you know, we're supposed to handle X number of calls per hour, but if you're not giving the caller resolution and you're looking at the clock, you know, so it's that delicate balance of, well, I know I'm being measured by this metric, but I think the ultimate, you know, goal here is to make sure these people are getting what they want. So if it takes me a little bit longer, you know, I would hope my manager can overlook, you know, so sometimes she feels demotivated because she's not meeting their check boxes for other metrics. You know, they're not looking at the big picture.
And that's ultimately what's putting money in her pocket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, is how she's performing against the metrics. So the other thing that I challenge contact center leaders to think about is why are talk time and after call work time measurements even in place? And how are those KPIs contributing to what the ultimate goal is, and that's customer retention and customer experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, in a prior life, we got rid of talk time and handle time goals, and we did that because we wanted to be more focused on the experience and the information that was being provided to the customers that we were talking with. And not so much about the clock. And it was funny, when people didn't have that sense of urgency that they needed to get off the phone and get on to the next call to help the next consumer, average handle time stayed within 5% of what it was when we did have that metric in place.
Interesting.
You know?
And I suppose the morale was probably higher too.
For 3 years straight, we had a 0% turnover rate.
Wow.
Because people did not feel pressured about getting how they did the job. It was that the job was leading to an end result that was positive for the consumer.
The other thing is
understand what your company's mission and vision is. And is that translated all the way down to the frontline agent? And is that reflected in the hiring requirements that are in the position description? Again, going back to the need to review the position description on a consistent basis to make sure that as direction within the organization and for the business changes, that you're hiring the people that are going to reflect what it is that the end result is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, because educating them about what those things are, you know, this is our mission and vision. This is what, you know, our guiding principles are. And because I work for a company that, you know, you question, is this person, you know, so when you're evaluating somebody for performance, you're like, well, do they reflect these core values? You know, that's kind of what you would go back to say, oh, are they expressing this? Are they doing this? And if they're not, then, you know, that's when you start having a conversation with that person, because it's like, okay, this is the law of the land here. These are core principles. And when you did X, do you feel this was aligned with that? And that kind of helps them, you know, recheck and refocus and reset as well.
And their vision of how they're acting and reacting in their mind, they may be living those mission, vision, and values. Mm-hmm. And so it's a learning opportunity for the leader or the supervisor to say, okay, well, I can kind of see that, and then try and redirect the behavior to where it's more in line with what the company's expecting and what the customers are truly expecting.
So do you have any other examples that where somebody wasn't doing that and, you know, what the consequences were, or did they kind of step up and take care of it, or did they eventually have to maybe let that person go?
So there have been situations where we, and I'll go back to that one environment where we had an amazing lack of turnover. Mm-hmm. And we had somebody that was very knowledgeable, but they were very, I would say, defensive in how they interacted with their peers.
Okay.
And this is an environment that it was a new business offering for the company I was working for, and the culture was very important for us.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping the continuity of the culture was most important. And so this person, while they were very, very knowledgeable, they were, as I said, they were very confrontational at times with their peers. And so what we did is we just had to go ahead and bring that person in and sit them down with some of their peers and have an open exchange of ideas. Now, is that always going to work?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
But with the personalities of this person, getting that peer feedback on how they were making that their peers feel was much less confrontational than if it was a he said, she said, and it was just a supervisor or a manager discussion, because then it becomes more punitive and you're trying to fire me. And so what actually happened is we were able to get this person back involved with the group as a whole. Was it perfect all the time? No. But they understood how they were making others feel, and also how others were making them feel. So it was a two-way street, because people just didn't understand. The vision and the culture and the values of that particular group were misunderstood. And having that peer interaction was something that was mission critical for us, and it allowed for retention of that employee, because they just didn't understand, and others around just didn't understand.
That's a great example. So my last question here, is there any, in your current practice, you know, are there any techniques or tools that you're recommending to your clients as far as to help them? I don't know if it's something you've created or something you third party that you use to help them either redo their job descriptions or assess, you know, the customer profiling and personas. Is there something that you use or recommend?
Yeah. So what I would recommend is that the HR is facilitating the timing of reviewing job descriptions, but they're not actually creating the position descriptions. It's important to get frontline agents involved in the creation of the position description, because they understand what it is that they're actually doing and what the expectations are for the customers that they're working with.
Yeah.
It's almost like having a 360 review, but this is more of a 360 position description that's going to be key to making sure that you're hiring the right people. It's important that people feel that they have a voice in not just the job that they're doing, but in the culture that they're working in. Because they want to have people that are, I don't want to say like-minded, but they have a similar work ethic as they do, working next to them. Because how many times have you heard, well, Sally just doesn't work as hard, and I have to always redo Sally's work. They don't want to have that. So they want to make sure the people that are being brought in resemble the same work ethic and the same understanding of what's expected. So that's the one suggestion
excellent.
I would provide.
Yeah, because I remember a former company I worked at, the smokers. You know, so they keep taking smoke breaks where everybody else is still stuck on the phone. It's like, well, do I have to take up smoking to take a break here? I mean, it's like...
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you know, your insights are golden and gems, and our audience also appreciates them. like, wow, that's great insight. Woo! There.
Look at all that. Look at that.
Oh, my God. Woo! All right. Well, thank you, Mark. And we'll certainly probably have you on again because this is great, great stuff. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Nancy. And, you know, I appreciate you having me as a guest today. And I look forward to interacting with you in the future.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.